Welcome to Business Ninjas, brought to you by Right For Me, where you'll hear from business leaders who are out there growing their business and slaying it every day. Learn from the masters. Let's get started.
Vinny, thank you for joining us today on Business Ninjas. We're pleased to have you stop by. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Right on. Why don't we knock out the basics first? So if you could give us your full name, role in the company, name of the company, and the website.
Yeah, so my name is Vincent Faris, and I'm the president and CEO of Link Systems International. Our website is www.link-systems.com. And, I'm pretty much in charge of most of the operational aspects of the company, but I've got a really great staff that does most of the work, and I give them all the credit.
Right on. All right. And where are you based?
We're in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
We have an office in Tempe, Arizona as well. And we've got the tutors scattered all across the globe.
All right. Oh, interesting. Okay. And just to level set, if you could give us like a little bit of your background so that we understand the career arc that brought you to this present opportunity.
Yep. I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. I have been blessed right out of college to have just with no purpose or intent. I got involved with some small companies. A lot of the companies that I worked for, and this is my fourth job ever. I worked for an economist out of MIT right out of college and got to see one way of running the business. Did a little startup with some folks that I worked with there, moved to Atlanta. My girlfriend from Boston moved with me to Atlanta. That didn't work out. So I went to go work for my best customer in Las Cruces, New Mexico. My fiance followed me to New Mexico. And we were there for a while. We sold that business, and I had a couple opportunities. And my wife and 3-month-old daughter moved with me to Tampa, and that was back in 1998. I took a job as a VP of Business Development here at Link Systems. About 6 months later, they asked me to run the company, and I became president and CEO back in 1999. And as my kids like to tell me, I must not be doing a great job because I haven't gotten a promotion in 20 years.
Nice. Wow, that's a great arc. All right, thanks. And maybe let us know the basic elevator pitch for the company.
Sure. We do one thing really. We are focused on student success and achievement. Our company is built around, going back into the 90s when the internet was brand new.
Yeah,
we were the very first company to start putting tutors online, and you can imagine what a difficult pitch that was because not everybody had an internet. People were just learning about these things, and of course, fast forward now, it's mainstream and accepted. And so we have a service net tutor. We license the platform, which is called Pisces, so schools can put their own tutors online if they don't want to use our tutors, or they can do both: their tutors by day, our tutors by night. And then we have a sort of a content engine called Sophia that delivers mostly reading, writing, and arithmetic content so that while you're not spending time with a live tutor, we have a lot of skill and drill and practice stuff that you can work on at your own pace. And so those sort of three things together are really designed to help K-12 and college students do better. And, mostly the demographic that we serve a lot of immigrants. We serve a lot of first-generation college students. I like to, my internal reminder to people is, my 4 children, they would never need something like NetTutor because they had me. They'll someday grow up to learn what a blessing that is, although they're not all, yes, that's true today. But a lot of students, a lot of people, they want to get out of their current situation. They know the only way to do that is through education, but they don't have the foundational skills. They don't have the academic behaviors that people who have parents who went to college, for example, were born with. And so they need to acquire these skills. They need help. And the burden on the college, the community college system, and God bless what they do in this country, They just don't have the resources to give everybody what they need. And if you just look at our school systems and the public schools, there are some places where the public school systems are great and they're funded and they can give everybody that every student their needs, regardless of that student's particular demographic. But there are a lot for every place like that. There are a lot more places that are just underfunded, understaffed. And again, they need to find low cost ways to help the broadest number of students in their academics. And that's sort of what we focus on right there. And any way we can do that, the schools are our customer.
Okay.
But we serve the students. And so we're sort of in that odd role where our customers don't directly, the people who pay us don't directly benefit from the service. It's their customers who use us. And so we work very hard to sort of prove ourselves through as much research as we can with the schools to show that students who use our services will do better. And that always turns out to be true. And I love this pretend that it's us, right? You know, NetTutor, that's the way we fix everything. The reality is we serve the group of students who are raising their hand and asking for help.
Okay.
And I will always bet on that cohort of students to succeed. The big challenge is when I'm at home and I'm stuck, who do I ask? I probably can't ask my parents. You know, maybe my mom works. I can't ask my siblings. You know, my friends probably don't know much more than I know. So, you know, my teachers aren't there. My guidance counselor's not there. Who do I ask, Sunday nights when I'm doing homework? And that's sort of the service that we provide.
Interesting. Okay. And I wonder was that the initial vision of the company? And then how has that shifted over time? I mean, you've been growing this, you know, as the internet's kind of grown up as well. So I'm guessing that things have changed over that course.
Well, the original group of founders were out of University of South Florida here in Tampa. They were mathematicians.
Okay.
But a lot of those original developers, some were grad students from China. Some were visiting faculty from University of Sofia in Bulgaria. And then along with the founders, their original goal was just simply to be able to communicate math online. You know, if you remember, AOL and some of the, CompuServe, there was some ability, but you had to do all these funny little things, use the little carrots to represent the square. And, they had to develop this whole sort of text math language. Now, of course, today with phones and cameras and graphics and chat and all these things that we have now, it's really hard to imagine, but there once was a time when the internet was here, but communicating in math was very, very difficult. And so that's what their focus was. It was very collegiately focused. It was calculus and differential equations and things that mattered. That's what they brought me on for. They said, we think we have a good idea, and we just don't know how to commoditize it and turn this into a business. And of course, the first thing I said to them is, I said, your market cannot be differential equation students across the country. It could be, but that's just a very small market. How do we use this to help all students? And of course, math anxiety is a real thing. What better way to help you with your math anxiety than put you in touch with a human being? We can find all kinds of experts in any subject we want. What we focus on are people who are empathetic, people who love, students get that aha moment. And that's really what our focus is. And a lot of our sessions start, I suck at math. And our tutors are so trained and they take that so personal. But no, you don't. A lot of growth mindset stuff here. Let's not start there. Math is hard for you. Math is hard for a lot of people. You can learn math. Everybody can learn math. Let's do this together, and sort of diffuse that situation right out of the gate. And then we focus a lot on do you have a quiet place to study right now? Are you alone? Because a lot of times the students will get a lot of no, my four brothers and sisters are also in the living room and they're all in line waiting to get the computer after me. And so we try to help them, like, you know, that's not really a great studying environment. You know, is there an opportunity? Can you take that laptop and go to a bedroom? Or, you know, and trying to help them understand that, you know, if we're going to do this together, let's get some dedicated time. Let's get some dedicated space. And that all happens before we even start talking, you know, arithmetic, right? That's how these things work. And so it's a lot of fun.
Wow. Okay. And how do you separate out from the other competitors that have sprung up, you know, over the years? How do you guys differentiate yourselves?
Yes, well, you know, that's for you know, so we have a big head start.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, most of our competitors are half our age. I like to remind everybody, like, we've already screwed everything up that could ever be screwed up three times. And so we have that experience going for us. We used to only hire tutors in our offices, and we did that for a long time. We felt it was very, very, very important that we had line of sight supervision over the tutors, that a tutor could raise their hand and a supervisor could come over and sit down with them if a student was really having a hard time, or sometimes they get frustrated, or, you know, the session already starts off where the student's angry about something. But over time, and as the internet sort of helped people learn to work remotely, we were able to sort of reduce our in-house staff. We still use some of them, but a lot of them are distributed. But what we were able to develop that our competition doesn't have is that kind of training. So our training is still the same training we would have given you if you were sitting next to us your first week of tutoring. And we mentor you, and we assign you a buddy, and we review all of your sessions for your first week. A lot of companies, they focus on selling the tutoring, and then they just sort of outsource the tutoring, whether it be to companies in India or overseas, and the quality isn't the primary concern. And, you know, price matters and other things matter. They're, you know, they have all kinds of neat bells and whistles on their websites to make it look fancy. But at the end of the day, what we realize is that we're only measured by the quality of our interactions with students. And so our product, our whiteboard, is deliberately simple and basic. It's easy to use. You know, we don't try to answer you with a chat bot so that you start in a session so now we can start the clock ticking. But, you know, a lot of companies will have tutors work with multiple students at once. So they're working over here with one student, they're working over here with the other student. And all of those things, if you just think about them as the student, that's not good for me.
Right.
Me talking to a chatbot's not good for me. That's good for you guys. It helps you make more money. But that, you know, having a tutor go bounce back and forth between two or three students, that's not good for me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as I sort of alluded to at the very beginning, all we do and everything we do and what really sort of our core value proposition is we start student-centric first, and we sort of build out our business model from there.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that is very unique compared to what a lot of other companies do.
Right. And I'm guessing that the COVID era might have had a material effect on your business or on uptake, maybe. So I'm wondering what that arc was like.
Yeah. You know, I would say that there, you know, we're winding down from it now, but our tutoring usage doubled at the peak of COVID.
Wow.
As you can imagine. You know, so basically, you know, I like to, you know, there's sort of three groups in the market, and I'll speak to sort of my customer base, but I'm sure this is somewhat true. You know, we already had people who were good users. They liked what we did. They marketed it to their students. We were part of the fabric of their campus. And so when they had to go online, we were not the problem. Tutoring, they didn't miss a beat. Their tutoring center just said, listen, you can't come to the tutoring center anymore. It's just 100% online. Maybe they brought their tutors online, so was there some training there, but they were ready to go. And of course, our usage grew a lot with them. We then had a cohort of customers who, they were customers, but they weren't really users. They had it. They checked the box because you have to. You have to have some kind of online tutoring. But it really wasn't ingrained in their fabric, if you will. So when they tried to just flip the switch, it was a little harder for them. even though they had the relationship in place and even though we were staffed and ready to go, maybe the link wasn't integrated into every course. Maybe the promotional material wasn't as easy to find. And so their ability to sort of spread the word remotely while all these other things were happening to push everything online rapidly. Some of those schools struggled a little bit, but because they had a partner, we were able to sort of help them and get them up and running. And then there were a lot of schools that just, you know, we don't need that online stuff. You know, our tutors at our tutoring center is all of our students will ever need. And they were, a lot of them were just caught by surprise, right? They don't have any program. And, you know, we were able to, you know, we had relationships with them because even if they don't want to use our tutoring service, maybe they want to use our platform for their own tutors, or maybe we're selling them the content, you know, the math homework, the English homework and things that can help from that regard. So we might have had some relationship, but not an official relationship. And they scrambled and our team, you know, there was back in 2020, there was a couple months where we were around the clock helping people get integrated, you know, just doing everything. You know, at one point, we made our platform available free.
Wow.
Basically, anybody who that we had a relationship with, we just let them use Pisces. Get your tutors online yourself. Don't worry about it. We'll figure out how to reconcile this later. And some of them used it for free and then sort of figured out their own thing and they unused it. And some of them are now customers for the platform that we didn't have, and we, you know, we let them take their time to sort of make that decision. So it was crazy. And I would say, you know, just to sort of finish that thought, our 2022 came in ahead of our growth pace from 2019, if you took out COVID.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But the growth that we saw, the spike in 2020 and then in 2021, has come back down to earth. And so as schools are back in campus face-to-face, obviously the pressure to have everything be online has dissipated. So students who prefer to go to the tutoring center can. But the one thing that will never change is everybody now has a taste for online. So people now know what they like, and people also know what they don't like. And that, I think that will be the lasting effect, is that, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, like, well, now that it's online, it'll never come back. I've never believed that because, quite honestly, you know, we tell people, listen, your instructor is the best place to start, right? That person is going to be your best, but that's a limited resource. Face-to-face, go on your campus tutoring center, go to your guidance counselor, go to peer study groups, go to after-school tutoring. Like, that is, you know, to be that, you know, to your peers, in person, you know, that's better. And then sort of online is sort of the tertiary opportunity. One and two aren't available for me. What do I do? Now the web has given you this, you know, online 24/7, 365 resource that's always there for you. And now you get to pick. You know, if I have a quick question, I can just go online and ask. If I really want to sit down and have something explained to me, maybe I have a favorite person at the tutoring center I can go talk to. But maybe they're closed and maybe I'm at a pension and I have to do this online. And so, anyways, I hope I answered your question.
Yeah. No, you definitely did. I mean, I guess maybe one of the big takeaways for all the schools was at least have a plan instead of just pretend you'll never have to deal with this. No, I'm sure they're all well aware that.
In hindsight, that's what it looks like, but it's so hard to have ever anticipated
that. Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, who ever knew? It just helps when you're an online company like Blink Systems. You know, it was pretty easy for our tutors just to stay home as long as they had a computer.
Right.
You don't have to come to work. You know, we already had a huge group of a network that people that are already working from home. So for us, it didn't miss a beat. But yeah.
And I wonder, what's the sweet spot for you now as you see the wave of COVID adoption starting to normalize? Is it, you know, K to five, middle school, high school?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. You know, the other thing that really changed, and I don't want to predict how long it will last, is that, you know, 10 years ago, the public school, you know, K-12, the way they bought things weren't subscriptions. right? You bought all your math books all at once. And you know, students were given them, they were handed back in, you had to put a cover on them, you had to take care of them, and they were supposed to last 7 years. The publishing industry a few years ago really started to try to drive digital. And in order to get the digital, you had to start subscribing, right? So now you can't buy all your books in 2008 and then hold on to them to 2015 because you can't reuse those online codes. And so the idea of, you know, paying less but paying annually started to happen. And now with sort of all this learning loss, federal money's available. And so now for the first time over the last couple of years, the public school systems now have the money to think about buying things like online tutoring for themselves.
Okay.
And so now what does that look like? You know, if you've been basically locked out of school for 2 years and you're a sixth grader, now you're going into eighth grade, but you really haven't been on in school for 2 years. You know, how ready are you for eighth grade, and what do we as a school system do? And so we're starting to see a lot of growth in the K-12 space now. So that's sort of the post-COVID change. You know, we still see a lot of we have a lot of great partners in higher ed, and we continue to you know, that's still our major focus in terms of who we support as a customer base. But you know, looking forward, you know, the K-12 market is sort of where we're seeing a lot of the growth coming.
Yeah, geez, there's so many institutions to try and get to. I wonder what your outreach strategy is to get into. I mean, every county in America, essentially, right?
So, you know, we have a regional, so we have two, you know, we have a higher ed and a K-12. They're separate. They're managed separately. Regional sales teams who are out there. You know, the good news is that when it comes to schools and colleges, it's a finite list. And they're, you know, these are mostly, at least, you know, now private schools are a little different, both college and K-12 private schools. But from a public school system, it's pretty easy to figure out who they are, where the district offices are, who the associate superintendent is. So in some ways, you know, we're not knocking door to door trying to figure out whether or not you might be a customer or not. And so it just becomes a strategy where you, your strategy game where you have to decide, you know, if we go for, you know, I've got, well, we're here in Hillsborough County, and I have a good friend who's sort of helped me. I've been to meet at the superintendent's office a few times, and you know, he reminds me that, you know, when you leave, the next three meetings are Dell, Apple, and Microsoft, right? Hillsborough County is a top 10 school district in the country. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars on things. And so while they would be a great customer to have, you're not the only one who thinks that. And then the other end of the spectrum, there's a lot of smaller school districts who you can focus on who don't necessarily get the attention of the really big companies. But they tend to make much smaller purchases than the larger school districts. So like all business decisions, you're just trying to find your sweet spot. Where can we get, you know, where can people write the right size checks that make it worth the effort to go for, where we can, but we can expect to be given the sort of the attention that we need from them in terms of listening to our pitch and our sales process. And you know, that's different in the Northeast than it is in the West Coast. It's different in the Midwest than it is in the Southeast. And so those are sort of just individual territory plans. And of course, what we do is we do a mix of everything, right? We try to do our best to reach out to all the small school districts that we can and give them as much support as we possibly can afford, which makes them very, very happy. We have a special task force here in the Tampa office that goes after the largest school districts in the country. You know, not with always a lot of success, but it would be foolish to not at least try to go after those. And it's sort of our regional sales teams, you know, they're kind of going after those mid-sized districts. And so this is what we spend a lot of time thinking about every day.
Exactly
what are we doing? And of course, you know, measuring, that's the other big thing. You know, we have a process that we've refined, you know, we refine and we've honed it to be the best we think it is, and then we're just constantly going back and measuring ourselves, you know, against our own plan to make sure that, you know, if we're going to drink our own Kool-Aid, we should at least make sure that we're seeing some successes from time to time. And I think we feel pretty comfortable about where we are there.
Great. All right. And what are you active on social media channels? Can folks find you on any of those platforms?
Yes, we do. We're on Twitter. We're actually on social media twice, which, you know, may or may not be the worst idea that we ever had. But NetTutor, NETTUTOR, is on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
Which is more of us. Those are more of our student-centric social media pages. And then from a corporate, we're at LSI_EDU on Twitter and also on Facebook as well. So, and of course, I'm personally on Twitter at @Forese, F-O-R-E-S-E, as well as you can always find us on LinkedIn as well.
All right. Well, we've learned a ton today, and it sounds like the company's, you know, on a sound footing and already crushing it for 2023. So it's going to be great to see where you go for the rest of the year. Thanks again for stopping by, Vinny. It's just been awesome.
Thank you. I love your optimism about 2023. So I'm gonna let that be the last thing I hear for the day.
There we go.
Thank you so much. Right.
Hey, are you a business ninja? Want to be interviewed like this? Give us a shout. Go to www.writeforme.io, WRITEFORME.io, and schedule a time to meet with us, and we'll make it happen. Keep slaying it, y'all.